Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories, behind the stories in the Lake County Press, with writer and editor Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom. I'm well, thank you.
Wonderful. It's a splendid early autumn day, and I can find no fault with it. So we've got three pieces ripped from the front page of the Lake County Press. Why don't we start out with the Silver Point 2, a possibility for more Silver Bay housing?
I would love to. Let's talk about Silver Point 2. So Silver Point 2 is a made-up name, just to be clear. We're kind of naming something so we can talk about it. The original Silver Point is an apartment building in Silver Bay. And just this last Monday, I got to attend the Silver Bay City Council meeting at which the county's HRA executive director, so HRA's Housing Redevelopment Authority, and Matthew Johnson is the relatively new director of that program for the county. And he came to the board and presented on an idea that he has for bringing another apartment building to Silver Bay. And it was really interesting. As you know, Tom, housing and the need for it and how to solve our problems creatively around housing is a big interest to me in the paper. So Matthew proposed, he was seeking sort of a consensus that this is a good idea. Yes, please do work on that. We would like to see that in our city, which he did receive from the council. It wasn't formal. There wasn't a resolution or a vote, but there were nods all around and comments that the city council did indeed would like to see more housing and have any help they can get to do that. So the Silver Point that currently exists has about 25 units and is primarily rented to people who are over the age of 60. It's not a dedicated elder housing facility, but that is who has ended up there. That's a lot of people who have needed that kind of housing. Silver Point 2, the proposal would be on property that is partially owned by the county currently and the HRA, and it lies right next to the current Silver Point apartment building. And the proposal that I found really interesting that Matthew is bringing forward is that he is going to now go forth and speak further, more in depth, with a management company called D.W. Jones. That may sound familiar to you, Tom, and other listeners. D.W. Jones is a property management and development company, and they have buildings kind of all over the region. They currently are working with, as you well know, the Two Harbors City HRA, of a potential project that looks pretty likely to be coming that they're calling Evergreen. So this kind of a company, and they, I should also say, they currently own and operate the Silver Point apartment building that exists already. So the idea would be to go to them and say, would you be interested if we can work out, for instance, giving you this land and helping you figure out easements and setbacks and access points and all of the things that go into and tie up and slow down and cost money, could we possibly count on you to build another unit and manage it as well? So that's where that is at. It's a maybe. It's very beginning stages. You probably have tons of questions from your point of view on planning and zoning. I'm going to pause for a minute and see if you have any questions because I want to tell you a little bit about the roads.
Well, okay, I do admit that there are a lot of things running through my mind, and what I'm trying to do now is listen to hear rather than listen to prepare for a response. And so I would ask you to just continue on.
I will. Thanks, Tom. So there's a couple of points, and one is that there is designated about $1.3 billion by the state of Minnesota from this last legislative session in May, that is to go towards workforce housing. There's a lot of other little details in there that will shape and suggest what happens next with this. But that's one of the reasons why Matthew Johnson, for instance, said to the council, that money is going to be available to certain projects, and we need to get in line because a lot of communities around Minnesota are going to want some of that. So the more prepared we are to talk to the state about how we can get grants to help this project, the better. So maybe we should start planning something so that they can see that we'd be a good recipient of funds that could help with a project such as this. So the fact that Silver Bay has had a recent housing study done, it helps them. The fact that Matthew Johnson has already started to develop a design concept plan, the fact that the city of Silver Bay has been working on a design concept plan for their whole city, kind of their downtown area, which this is quite near, are all very positive aspects. The part I wanted to mention about the roads is for some time coming out of the overall economic development design plan, which also encompasses housing that Silver Bay has been really diligently working on for the last couple of years, considers the possibility of cutting out a portion of Davis Drive and creating a new road that's currently sort of an alley that lies behind the shopping center there that would connect Outer Drive and Banks. Now, this new proposed road, which they've had as an idea that could help create access to properties that are currently undeveloped where apartment buildings could go, it involves a lot of moving parts, working with the county to make those agreements, because the current road that they're proposing to close section is a county road. So there's just a zillion parts and pieces to this, but they're really working through it. If this new road was built, it would cause there to be very easy access to this property for this building. So it kind of plays into it. There was a lot of discussion in the council about that, about the cost of that, about stormwater runoff and replacement of some very large culverts needing to be done. And ultimately, a new road, I'm going to simplify this. Again, this isn't a hard number, but about $2 million for a new road that runs a couple of blocks. That includes like the city utilities under it and all the things that go with that. And about $2 million for just the stormwater runoff part of it. So that's a huge price tag. But in the discussion, after the alarm of that price tag, which is enormous for a small city, it seems likely that the people involved in planning this and at the Silver Bay City Council felt like they could obtain a lot of funding from the state to take care of many parts of these. So it's just such a nice example in progress of what it takes working together across boundaries, across the city, across the county, and within and with a developer, of what potentially could happen to resolve some of our housing needs.
This is impressive in my mind for a number of reasons, but one that sticks out from the seat that I'm sitting in and seeing what I see, which is just a portion of the picture, is that Silver Bay is moving ahead as rapidly as it can on addressing the housing issue and getting houses built, and seems willing and able, and somehow has a very optimistic look about shaking the money tree for money to help out with the cost of this, so that it's not as big a burden on the Silver Bay taxpayers as it might otherwise be. And in Two Harbors, we're eagerly working on the housing issue as well. But at least from what is apparent in the public news, our progress is not as readily apparent as it seems to be in Silver Bay. And then our financial methods seem to be a little bit more conservative somehow, keeping the city's treasury in good shape, but apparently not very aggressive, at least as it appears that Silver Bay is. In finding this outside money, and making roads is another big deal. You know, a road is actually a very complex thing. It's not just an empty, naked line on the ground. You've got the rights of way and the legal aspect of the existence of the road coming forth, and then utilities and everything else that's underneath it, and then, as you say, stormwater runoff, and the road is actually a kind of a machine in a way. And it's not a static, empty thing. And it is constructed just like a house is constructed or a truck is constructed. It has a lot of parts to it that have to come together at the right time, and it all takes just startling amounts of money.
Well said, Tom. And I'm going to just offer a commentary, an editorial commentary on some of the differences between Silver Bay and Two Harbors. because I've been in the room for years observing how things work. And part of it is, part of it's luck. Part of it is actual just circumstance. Silver Bay is a little smaller. And when you have something smaller, you can be a little lighter on your feet and move as a unit, but a little bit more agilely, okay? And that does make a difference. At the same time, they have a city administrator, Lana Freilich, who is enormously talented in city business, applying for grants, being on top of deadlines and all of the paperwork that goes with that. She's very talented in that, and she's an extremely hard worker who cares about the city. Also, they have David Drone, who is an expert of municipal development. I mean, that's been his career, and he's quite good at it. And now he's the EDA director of the city as a resident there. So they do have, as you have mentioned before, so many times people in these positions at city councils, planning and zoning level, at the EDA, are volunteers without any training or background or education on these really complex issues. So there's some luck involved in that. I will also say there's an openness that I perceive in Silver Bay to and a trust in their kind of group process, that we're going to catch stuff. We're going to make mistakes. Hopefully we'll learn from them. They've made mistakes. They've had some bad luck as well. And they've had some projects really fail over the last 15 years, catastrophically, after lots of investment. So let's not pretend like it hasn't been a problem at times. But they're willing to take some risks. They have some trust that if mistakes are made, they'll work through it together and recover from that. They do a great job kind of pre-planning projects and trying to save money and revenue for the future. So I think there are lessons to be learned between Two Harbors and Silver Bay that we can learn together and get better at all the stuff that we need to both take care of.
Oh, sure. One other thing I will say in defense of my town is that, you know, Two Harbors is an old city compared to Silver Bay. We're more than a century old, and we have different design schemes apparent in the various parts of the city. And so each time you're doing something, you have to say, well, how was this done? And it's very noticeable there's a difference between Seagog and the rest of the town of Two Harbors. Oh. The streets are different. They're aligned differently. They're narrower. And what I thought were alleys were actually streets. And so it is more complicated here. And I will say that in defense of our city council, that they are are working with a little bit more complex machine, perhaps. And so what I should do is shut my pie hole here and let you move on to either finishing up with Silver Point or going on to the trees and quality of city life piece.
I'm ready to move on, Tom.
Okay.
We'll talk about trees. And I'm not at all surprised that you and I found that first story just fascinating. We could go on all day for a lot of reasons. But we'll talk about trees for a minute, which are also tied to our cities. This particular article is the second from Katya Gordon about trees. And the reason she was interested in finding out more about what happens and why and what influence citizens can have on trees within city limits is because she loves trees. And also, we've had a lot of people approaching the newspaper upset that their trees had been cut down and feeling like they shouldn't have been or something to that effect. So Katya said, I don't know how the city, Two Harbors or Silver Bay, decides when a tree needs to come down and how that's affected by city projects and what the timing is and what recourse citizens may have who have own a home that also has a boulevard with a tree that may or may not get cut down by the city and who has to replace them and all of that. She didn't know and she wanted to know. And people have a lot of feelings about trees. Almost everybody does, I got to say. So she really dug into exploring this. And last week she talked a lot about how trees are cut down, why they are cut down for projects or if they're ill and kind of what those designating principles are that cities like Silver Bay and Two Harbors use. She got to talk to Derek Passy, he's got a lot of hats, right? He's a Two Harbors City Council member. He is also on the Lake County Soil and Conservation, Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you. And he also serves on the Trees and Trails Commission. So Derek loves trees too. And he knows a lot about them, sort of more as a scientific point of view and a biology point of view. He has that kind of knowledge. And she talked to several other people as well to get their perspectives on trees, the importance of them, and how they get replanted if they've been cut down by a city's decision. So I think it's a great read and something that all of us who live in cities really should read, because it's easy to see the headlines. This is a different headline and not probably one you'd see in the Lake County Press, that the mean old city is cutting down our nice trees just because they're kind of rotten. I kind of never believed that, but you certainly see it on the news, right? People are tying things around trees, trying to stop them from being cut down. So I learned a lot too, Tom. And the bottom line is, cities do not cut down trees unless they really have to. And if you look around at trees that are close to our streets, especially on boulevards, please understand, people, they're going to get cut down one day if that street needs to be repaired. The coexistence of digging up ground around trees and allowing them to stay nearby, it doesn't work out very well. It often kills trees, but not for a few years. And then there's a lot bigger cost. So I think we have to kind of rearrange our thinking about trees in our town to be that they are temporary and then we need to replant them. I could go on and on, Tom, but bottom line is trees are really good for our health. They're good for the planet as a carbon sink. They're also really good for us just as humans to be around. And we should definitely be looking at how we can increase having trees in our environments and having a greener city. Two Harbors is a tree city. Jenna Udenberg talks in the article about access and nature and how, as a city, we should be thinking more about how we can have green spaces that are also accessible to people with disabilities. It's a great conversation. I hope people respond to it and think about it and talk about it.
Oh, sure. And remember, it's not a lightly done thing to cut down a tree. It's actually quite expensive to cut down a tree. It's more to it than just firing up the chainsaw and letting her rip. That's the very least of it. And so, oh gosh, I'm going to let myself get carried away here, but I will not. I think we should move on to our final piece about the humanitarian missions, sometimes tied to parts of military service.
Yeah, so I got to meet Melissa Crandall. She is our new assistant Lake County Veteran Services Officer, which is kind of amazing. So you know that Brad Anderson has been the Lake County Veteran Services Officer for some time, for some years now. He writes for the Lake County Press every week. He's a wonderful person that's constantly trying to help veterans connect with their benefits. And he made a plea to the county board that we have an extraordinary amount of veterans living in Lake County, somewhere between 900 to 1,000. And you multiply family members who are potentially beneficiaries of veterans benefits as well, and you have a lot of people on his caseload. So Melissa's brand new. She's full-time. I introduced her to the community. She sent me some great pictures of her in the Philippines, and we talked primarily about her service on humanitarian missions. She really wanted people to understand how important the U.S. military is all around the world, helping do things like repair roads and rebuild schools, which are a couple of things she got to do. So that's a really fun introduction to Melissa. And a reminder to veterans and their families to reach out to our county office to meet them. You may be eligible for benefits that you did not even know you were, and we would like to see you connect with that.
Well, well said and fairly done. And I guess I never realized the large number of veterans in this veterans service area either. When you add in the family members that are also part of that benefit package, that can be a population approximately equivalent to the population of Two Harbors.
I know, right? I think you're right.
Who'd have thunk it?
Amazing. I know.
Well, this has gone on rather longer than I had anticipated, but I think that's kind of cool, too. So I'm not going to invite you to tell me any more stories. I will just say thank you. And to our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you, too, Kitty, as well. Thanks, and bye for now.
Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.